is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Bull.
LBC, good morning. I'm Clive Bull with you till four. Let's talk now. I mentioned about this microchip and I don't know, do you fancy the idea? Are you ready for a microchip to be connected to your brain? Elon Musk says he is working on an implant to the skull. He's actually put an advert out there that they want to run clinical trials. So we'll find out more. And whether you think this is... What do you think? Is this something you would consider? Is it just the next phase, the next stage of fantastic science? Is Elon Musk getting carried away here? 0345 6060973 if you want to comment on that, or feel free to text as well. How do you feel about microchips implanted? Let's find out more about how it would work with Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com. Morning, Fevzi.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. So, Elon Musk and this, I mean, it sounds like some people's worst nightmares. Is it really a microchip in a human?
Yeah, it is. It's actually two microchips that go into the brain, flush with the skull, so it doesn't sort of stick out in the people or the because they've done it on macaques and pigs so far, and they shave the hair and they implant it. So it's the next step, and it's where we have to go for to perfect this human machine interface. If you think about it, Clive, we had different ways of communicating with computers. It used to be, punch paper tape, and then we had magnetic storage, and we had keyboards to type, and now we have voice inputs, and it's becoming more and more sort of native to the way we are as humans. And the ultimate extension of that is that we have something that can actually read our thoughts, so we don't have to type. This particular project, the Neuralink project from Elon Musk's company, is focused on movement. So what they do is they put probes into the brain, two of them, thousands of receptors. They can pick up the electrical signals that the brain makes when it intends to cause movement in a limb or a hand or a finger. And it has an algorithm that interprets those and then turns it into movement so it can control an artificial limb, for example.
So is it your thoughts controlling it ultimately, or is that the ultimate aim?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If you look on YouTube, you'll see a video of a macaque monkey playing Pong by mind. And it's very interesting the way they trained it. So what they did is they put the implants in, one on the left, one on the right side of the brain, and they're able to detect the electrical signals created by the brain associated with movement. So they gave the monkey a joystick to play the game, and then they let him play the game for a good deal of time, but at the same time they were recording the signals that the brain produced whilst he was moving the joystick up, down, left, right, etc. And eventually they were able to work out, this electrical signal, or the algorithm, this electrical signal in the brain relates to an up movement or a down movement or whatever. So they were able to marry up the two. So in the end, what they did, the monkey continued to play the game, not knowing that now the joystick has been disconnected. And it is the real-time algorithm that's picking up the electrical signals, interpreting them, and recreating them as if the joystick has been physically moved. And it was very fluid. The monkey was playing very fluidly. It wasn't a jerky, primitive movement. It was very, very fluid. Now, that's an example, but then those signals could be used to control an artificial limb. Elon Musk is even talking about quadriplegic people and maybe giving them the ability to have full movement. He thinks that people will be able to, for example, interface with a mobile phone. And by the way, the implants, you pair them with Bluetooth. It's kind of funny.
Oh, my goodness.
So instead of pairing your speakers, you'll pair your brain. But that's where we're going. I mean, science fiction is no stranger to this. And if you think about it, if you pardon the pun, it is the next step, that even speaking, like you and I having to speak to each other, and, you know, move our lips around and push air through and make sounds is slow.
It's such a pain.
Yeah,
it having is. To talk. Yeah, why can't I just send my thoughts to you?
Yeah, well, look, so they're working on one half of the problem, which is what do all the signals the brain creates whilst moving mean, right? And then we send them to a machine to create movement, to give people back movement that they've lost. But you could, that's like half of a fax machine. That's like the scanner bit of a fax machine. When you have the other half of it, which takes those signals and stimulates the brain in the same way, then you could have telepathy, for example. It doesn't have to be motor neurons. It could be other neurons if you could decode them. So thoughts and concepts, if it was possible to decode those, you could quite literally have telepathy.
So I've had callers and listeners contacting me for probably decades saying, you just watch it, Clive. One day you'll have a barcode tattooed on your skin. You'll have a microchip in your body. Mm. And I sort of thought, no, come on. You know. And they were warning and saying, this is dire. Do you not find any of this frightening?
Well, okay. So first of all, the barcode bit of the statement, this is so much more than that. A barcode, you know, we can already identify ourselves from, you know, our DNA and all the rest of it. We're already fingerprinted in so many ways, retinal scans, fingerprints, DNA, all of those things can allow us to be read, as it were. Mm. So this is so much more than that. I think it's like all these sort of bleeding edge technologies that the social and moral ramifications of them, we by the time we've even produced the question, much less answered it as a society, we've gone on leaps and bounds. And we found that, for example, with reproductive medicine, where, you know, you test your babies and then the ability to have, you know, babies without male and all, you know, all the various things that are now technically possible. The technology runs ahead of our ability for us to consider the morality of it and answer the questions. So, you know, this thing will need FDA approval. I think it's the future, and I think that the potential benefits are huge, but we are probably one of the last generations of pure humans.
Wow. So just to be clear then, this chip, the way you described it, does it have any sort of direct organic connection to our bodies, or is it just sort of plonked in on the skull and picking stuff up, but not actually connected as such? Is the skull thing just that it's, you know, I mean, you could be wearing it on your wrist.
Yeah, I mean, it is a surgical procedure. I'm not quite sure how deep down they go. It must be, I imagine they're removing a section of skull. Because I don't know this, okay, so I'm sort of theorising, but because they haven't gone into great detail about it. But I imagine they are, because for them to be, it's hard to know, because they're picking up neural activity, and we can already do that with, you know, EEGs, electroencephalographs, when people have fits and, we need to be able to do brain scans. So it might be possible that it's not right down at that level. I'm really not sure, to be frank.
But you're reasonably confident that, I mean, we're being told about the good side of all of this, that you feel reasonably comfortable with it.
I think what I would tell you is I cannot think of a technology that human beings have invented that they haven't used, right through to nuclear weapons. So I think it is coming, and whether or not Elon Musk succeeds or succeeds within the time frame that he thinks he will, I don't know. But at the same time, I'm very sure that this is coming. I worry, because there are organizations like Meta that are investing money in this. And, you know, it's manna from heaven for an organization from Meta to be able to read your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
There's no filter there, you know. You'd have to be a Jedi to control the output of the neurons of your brain, you know. And I think that the technology is neither intrinsically good nor bad, and I suspect that human beings, being what they are, will find ways of using it which are not great. But the upsides of it, just imagine, I mean, we've already seen, so there's this concept of neuroplasticity in the brain, where if one part of the brain becomes disabled, another part of the brain can learn to do the movements, for example. That's why people can recover from strokes, even though they've suffered significant damage to the brain. So we've already seen, for example, that because of the use of search engines such as Google, the human brain is working differently. We're retaining fewer facts because we can look them up. We don't have to do it. And in the same way, your brain, it's not just that we attach to the internet. The internet is this clunky thing compared to what it's going to be. We were going to attach to all knowledge. I mean, the idea of, this is some way away, obviously, but, you know, the idea of being able to download an education. You know, or to be, do you remember Joe 90, who used to, his father used to inject him with expertise for each mission? I don't know if you remember that, but it's that sort of idea that we could have telepathy, we could have instant education, wisdom, possibly, we could correct. You can also look at maybe being able to correct for things like dementia in the future or Parkinson's disease. I mean, the possibilities are endless. And the way it will go is this: it will look at fixing problems, illnesses, physical or mental, neurological, and then we will move to enhancement. You know, Elon Musk is already saying people with these implants will be able to send text messages faster than the person can type it with their thumbs, and that's correct. And the ability to access all knowledge, the ability to communicate by thought, you know, these are amazing things. And as AIs become more intelligent, artificial intelligence algorithms, we can uprate not only our physicality but our mental capabilities. Some think that this is the only way that we will survive AI, is by enhancing ourselves. That if we stay as a sort of slightly clever ape with opposable thumbs, that we're going to be extinct, because AIs will supersede us as another species. And some people think that the way we survive is that we embrace that and we join with it. And I know that all sounds very science fiction and probably scary, but I suspect that, you know, there will be countries that will do this research and then others will do it because they're afraid that their competitors are doing it.
Fevzi, thank you very much. Fevzi Tokalp there, editor of GadgetDetective.com. You can find him on Twitter as well, @GadgetDetective.